Please stand with me to 168, hymn 168, Mansion Over the Hilltop. I hope you have one this morning. First and last.
Unsaid.
With me, 349. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. First and last. This morning.
Thank you.
hearts weary, tending our load of care. Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend? Have you heard He loves you, and that He will abide to the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim?
Amen. Thank you for that, ladies. Good morning. Welcome to Landmark Baptist Church. We are so glad you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you're visiting. This is your first time in a long time. We've got these handsome, strapping-looking men ready to give you a visitor card. If you just raise your hand. All right. Amen. We'd love to get a record of your visit. But again, if you're here today, we'd like to thank you for being here today. We've got a few announcements, but they are brief this morning. We wanted to make to you. The ladies' retreat is coming up September the 5th through the 6th. It will take place in Daytona on September 5th through 6th. The deadline to register is August the 6th, okay? So make sure, ladies, you make a mental note of that. The deadline is coming up. It is right around the corner. We are almost through with July. Oh, my goodness. Wow, it is flying by. Praise the Lord. August 6th, it's right around the corner. If you have any questions, see Miss Parsons or call the church office, and we can answer any of those questions. There is a flyer on the back media counter regarding that. There also will be a meeting in the fellowship hall next Sunday, July the 27th, after the evening service about the ladies' retreat. That way we can discuss transportation, what we need to do, who's driving, and different things. Ms. Parsons is going to take care of all that, so we'll ask you to do that. I want to thank you for all your prayers this week. We had an amazing team week. I ask you to give us a little bit of grace. I know Brother Allen's voice was a little shaky, and mine is sustaining right now, but our voice is a little shaky from team week. We had a wonderful week. If I remember correct, we had 27 saved, a few young people dedicate their life to full-time service, and great decisions. I'll tell you, Brother James said it at camp, but, man, Brother Hamilton was good preaching in here last Sunday night, but, man, to the teens this week, I mean, the hammer on the head. I mean, right on the head of the nail, right where the teenagers needed. I had teenagers in devotions. Brother Tyler, why does he keep preaching about what I'm living? And one of the teenagers said, Brother Tyler, did he watch me or something before he came and preached? Because he keeps preaching about what I'm doing. So we laughed about that and we had a good time. But we were excited about it. Church, thank you so much, not just for your prayer, but for footing the bill of camp. I know that is a big expense. Thank you. Thank you so much. And those who helped, thank you again to be able to go out there and be able to serve as well. We'll turn over to the prayer list and pray for some of these prayers. prayer request. Pray for Russ and Angie's grandson, Asher, is undergoing testing for a brain tumor. I talked to someone this morning, and they said he had a really rough week. So be praying for the family just for some grace and for the situations going on. Pray for Miss Cindy Bradford's test results of her PET scan. She will be having a biopsy on July 24th, so be praying about that. Be praying for Dr. Brother Lee. He has foot surgery September the 23rd. Be praying about that upcoming surgery. Pray for these ones recovering from surgery. Ellie Walker, Miss Parsons, Miss Christine Duez, and the one we forgot to mention, Xavier Newfort, one of our teenagers, he's a college student now, but was in our singing group, wasn't able to travel this summer, and underwent knee surgery there because he tore, I believe, his ACL. Pray for that as he continues to heal. A few different prayer requests here. Pray for Marvin Jones turns in the prayer request of his grandson. He broke his foot, so pray for that. And then Brother James Need turns in the prayer request for Chase Dorella. He lives in Davenport and has colon cancer. So I should be praying for that. Continue to pray for Miss Cindy Bradford, as we mentioned, Dalton Maloney, Norma Strickland. Be praying for Ralph Hutchinson, Brother Richard's father, my wife's grandfather. They came in this week, and they said it was if he made it through the weekend, they're not sure if he's going to do that. It'll probably be next week sometime that he goes home. So goes home to be with the Lord. He's not ate or drank probably in about 5 days now. So be praying for that as well, just for grace for the family and for his wife as well. Be praying for those on the cancer list, Angela Wilkie, Dan Canals, and Wyatt Wooten. Thank you guys so much again for being here. Ask you to stand with me. I'll ask, I did not give him pre-warning, but Brother Landman stepped up today. Brother Bert is out of town on vacation. Brother Alan Landman stepped up and led singing. I appreciate him greatly for doing that. Brother Alan, will you come pray for us, sir?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we have the privilege in this nation to come before you and worship as a body this morning without fear. Lord, I just thank you for those who have come here today and worship with us in song. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with Brother Tyler as he preaches here in a few minutes, Lord, and use your word and his mouth, Lord, to tell us what you would have us to learn today about you, and that we would worship you as you should be worshiped. Lord, I just pray you'd be with those who, Lord, who need your healing touch, Lord, who are going through difficult times. Lord, I just pray that you would show yourself mighty in their lives, and it might be a testimony to the lost world around us that you are all-powerful and we are your children. Lord, we just ask now that you would bless these monies to the ministries that you've had us to start in your name, Lord, and to run in your name. And we pray that you would put your hand upon them and to multiply them as you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Seated. Some mistake that this song is always after the week after teen camp, and that there are now some teenagers that are able to sing this song with us. But the choir would like to sing for you this morning, "I'm on the Winning Side."
Yeah.
while the choir is being dismissed, please turn with me to page number 94, or hymn number 94. Please stand with me as we sing hymn 94, Little as Much, When God is in It, First and Last.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is done, we will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown that you can win it, Jesus' name.
Okay, please be seated as Brother Roberts brings our special before the preaching. Out of His will, I've never been out of His care. This changing world, it alarms me with war, with sin, and with strife. But my loving Father guides me with joy, with peace, and with life. And He knows where I am every hour of every day. He knows each thought I think. He knows each word that I might say. And although there were times I stepped out of His will, I've never been out of His care.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Jerry. Grab your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. I need to ask a favor and forgiveness from you people this morning. I forgot to make a few announcements. Please pray for Pastor Carter. His cough has come back. He is under the weather. He's looking to go to the doctor tomorrow. Pray for that. Be praying for Pastor as he is gone. He's up in Maryland with Miss Parsons. I believe this is a follow-up visit with the surgeon and for some of the work she had done. Pray for that. And then this week, a lot of our staff is leaving this week. Brother Allen and Brother Tiberian and their wives are heading up to the sword. So be praying for that as they represent our college, the curriculum, the radio ministry. And then pray for Brother Morgan and the men that are going with him that are going to Kenya. Amen? So I ask forgiveness for one more thing. If I randomly laugh during the message, Miss Karen said she was going to make funny faces at me. It's Miss Karen's fault, not mine, okay? So praise the Lord, okay? So I need one more thing. I've been with the teenagers this week, and they are awake, okay? Like, they are awake, okay? So you guys got to wake up. We got to get ready to sit up, okay? Because Pastor told me that it would be really funny if I tried to preach like Brother Hamilton. But I don't think these pants are going to stretch that far without ripping, and I don't want to do that, amen? So I'm not going to do that. So you stay awake, and I'll do my best to keep you awake. And Lord willing, I won't rip any pants trying to preach like Brother Hamilton. And if we do, you laugh about it and pay attention, and we'll just act like it didn't happen, amen? 2 Kings, if I rip my pants now, every one of you is going to laugh the whole time. Lord, that we need that not to happen, amen? 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 8. We'll read a few verses there. If you read with me, look down in verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter number 4. It says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passed by continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us, he shall turn in hither. And it fell on a day that he came hither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gresham, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, he stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? What is thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? And she answered and said, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for thee? And Gresham answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day when he went out to his father's to the reapers. In verse number 19, it says, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said unto a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I might run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him this day? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy driving for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to the Mount of Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, and he said to Gresham his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Our text verse is going to be verse number 21. It says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. We're going to read verse number 26 again. It says, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity it is to serve you, Lord. I pray you just be with today, Lord. I pray you just be with my voice as well, Lord, as it's just wore out from camp. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity it is to serve you at camp and serve you at a great ministry called Camp Glory, Lord. I thank you for the young people that got saved and made decisions. Lord, if we could do it again, Lord, we'd do it all over again. Lord, we wouldn't change anything about that. Lord, I pray you just help us continue to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray you be with this message, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you hide me behind your cross. Lord, people didn't come to hear me speak, Lord, and if they did, they're surely going to be disappointed. Lord, I pray that you'll just speak through me. Lord, I pray you just help me be your messenger. Give me your power to speak. Lord, I love you. I ask it on your name. Amen. I'm going to take a sip of this water so my voice gets a little less scratchy, Lord willing. It was an opportunity to drink some of Pastor's bougie water, so I went ahead and took it, okay? But if we kind of look at this story, there's a few things we see here. We see this Shunammite woman, and she's just a regular woman. They say she's a great woman in there. She's in her house, and one of the things we see for this lady in verse number 8, we see that this lady has a desire for the things of God. She has a desire for the man of God. In verse number 8, it says, and right in there it says, and so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. Okay, this lady, and right above that, I should have read it, it says, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. We've got a lady here that she sees the man of God, and she sees that he's traveling, and she sees that this man of God has a need. This lady is a servant. She said, hey, man of God, come here, I'm going to feed you. And she's done it, and she's done it continually, till at some point she goes to her husband, and she said, hey, husband, we should build a little room for this guy. We should put a bed in there and a candlestick and a table and somewhere where he comes in. And when he comes to eat, he has somewhere to lay his head down. This is a good woman. This lady has a burden for the man of God and for the things of God. And I love seeing this there. And I'm seeing verse number 13, she's humble. The man of God says to her, you know, what can we do for you? Lady, you've been so kind to me. Lady, you've been so faithful. Lady, everything has gone good. Thank you so much. Now, what can be done unto you? He looks at her and says, do you want me to put a good word in with the king? And this lady's response in verse number 13, right at the end, it says, and she answered, I dwell among my own people. Man, this lady's humble. This lady's not looking to get the attention of this king. This lady's just looking to serve and just looking to minister to the man of God and just minister with the things of God. This lady has a good attitude. We look down in verse number 16, though, and this happens, and the man of God says, you know, hey, you've not had a child. And we see that this lady, although she's a great servant, although she's humble, we see that she's a human. It says in verse number 16, it says, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. This is a blessing. She's not had a son. It's probably something she's been praying for. She is praying about this, and the man of God says, according to this time of season, you're going to have one. Well, how does this lady respond? Okay, like a human. Like one of us, okay? She looks at him and she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. Hey, this lady is a practical lady. We can relate to this. This lady has probably been struggling with this for a long time, and she's a servant, and she wants to help the man of God, and she's humble. She's not looking for attention, but then the man of God hits on something and says, hey, ma'am, what? You're going to have a child. And she looks at him and says, don't you lie to me. This is probably something this lady's been praying for a long time. But she's got human emotions just like me and you. Okay, you see right there, she addresses him right and say, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. Her emotions are right there. We see her emotions in this. She's responded to him and different things go on. If you look down in verse number 28 of the same chapter, we hadn't read that yet. We see different things go on, and this is after she's laid her son down on the man of God's bed. In verse number 28, she said, then she said, did I desire the son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's at this point that this lady, her faith is shaken. Okay, in her eyes, her son has died, and she's laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she shut the door behind him, and she's got to the place that she went to the man of God, and by some miraculous miracle, she looked at the man of God and said, all is well. But as he began to talk to her, and as he said, hey, this is going on, this is going on, this lady's emotions began to come through and say, man of God, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this young man. I didn't ask for this to go on, and you gave me this young man, and now I'm dealing with this burden. And although she's trusting on the man of God, you know what we see here? We see a lady that we all can relate to. Whether you're a man or whether you're a lady, man, this lady is a servant. Man, this lady wants to do something through the will of God. She has a good heart. She's a good person, and different things go on, and she's humble. And she's not looking for the biggest house or the biggest promotion or stuff, and things go on, and something goes on in her life. Something that broke her heart. It says, and we'll read that verse again. It says in verse number 19 of chapter number 4, it says, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. This lady sat there. And this kid that the man of God had just given her, the kid that she had been blessed, it said he was grown just a little bit on top. It says he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. This lady went through a hard time. Man, this lady was at the situation that she could have looked around and she could have got mad and she could have said, you know what, I'll never do anything for that man of God again. I'll never do anything that'll serve that man of God. He gave me something and then God took it away. She could have got upset and she could have got mad, but how did she respond? In verse number 21, it says, and she went up and she laid him on the bed of the man of God and she shut the door upon him and went out. Can you imagine that lady? She's held this baby. She's held this young man. And she went and put him on the man of God's bed. And she shut the door. You know, truly, I believe she still has her emotions, and we're still going to have our emotions when things go on in her life. But her shutting that door, you know what she was doing? She was giving that situation to the Lord. She was saying, God, he's yours. This is your situation. Hey, Christian, can I tell you something? As Christians, there's some things in our life. You know what we need to do? We need to shut the door on. There's some things in our life when hard times go on and different things that we can't understand that we need to say, God, you know what? I can't fix this. God, I can't change this situation. I'm just going to give it to you and I'm going to close the door on it and I'm going to trust that you know best. Christian, can I tell you, we might read past this verse and we might say, oh, what a great woman that is. But oh, a hardship she went through. Hey, Christian, can I tell you one of the hardest things to do is give things to God when you don't understand? And you know that. Many of you know that 10 times, 20 times better than I can even begin to comprehend because you've went through stuff like that. Hey, Christian, there's sometimes, though, that we go through things and we say we give it to the Lord, but we're still carrying it. I'm not picking that thing up. That thing's heavy. I was going to, and I thought about it and decided against it. But there's some things that we go to and we say, God, I'm giving it to you. God, this is yours, and God, this is your burden, and here you go, Lord. And we're still carrying it around. And those things get heavy. And I'm going to knock everything over. And we begin to carry more and say, God, you know, I'm giving it to you. God, I'm trusting you. God, all this is you. All these burdens I've gone through. All this hardship, God, it's yours. I'm giving it to you and you give it to him. And then you keep carrying it around. Hey, Christian, can I tell you like this? I'm not going to be able to effectively preach today if I carry all this around. Hey, Christian, when you carry all your burdens around, you carry everything that you're carrying and everything you went through, when you carry it around with you like this, you're not going to be able to effectively serve the Lord. You're not going to be able to effectively walk with God and do the things of God. You know why? Because there's some things you need to shut the door on. Because there's some things you need to give to the Lord and say, God, I don't understand. God, I don't know, but I'm going to trust you. Hey, Christian, tonight I want to look at the Word of God. And I just want to look at some things that I don't know what you're going through. There's heartaches and hurts in this room that I can't even begin to fathom, that I wouldn't even address. I wouldn't know what to say if you even told me. But God does. And this morning, just for a brief time, I want you to give this time to the Lord. And I'm going to address some things through Scripture. And I'm going to look at some things through Scripture. But I want you to be willing to let the Holy Spirit talk to you this morning and reveal something into your life that it's something you're carrying and something you've got in your life. Why don't you lay it down and give it to the Lord and shut the door on it and say, God, I'm going to trust you with it. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. We know the writer of this is Paul. But if we look at Philippians chapter number 3, look with me down in verse number 9 of Philippians chapter number 3. It says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is which is of God by faith, that I might know him in the power and the power of his resurrection, and that the fellowship of his sufferings be made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of his of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after this, that I might apprehend that which also I am apprehended of, which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are done, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, church, can I tell you, one of the things as church and as Christians we need to be able to do is we need to be able to shut the door on our past. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, you're never going to live for Jesus. You're never going to be able to serve God in the future. Tomorrow's never going to have the joy of God if you keep looking back on the past and you keep saying, look what I went through and look what went on. And no, just shutting the door on it does not mean that it never happened. But Christian, can I tell you, you're not going to get anywhere looking backwards. You can walk forward all you want and you can have your head turned back, but you're not going to get where you're trying to go. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, there's some times we need to shut the door on the things of the past. In verse number 9 right here, it says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is set, which is of God by faith. It says, and be found in him. Can I tell you, there's many of people that sit in church and they come Sunday morning and they might come Wednesday night and they might come Sunday night and they say, man, I wish I had the joy of the Lord. Man, I wish I could serve God. And hey, man, I wish I could get up there and I wish I could sing in songs and I wish we could have stuff going on. Hey, can I tell you, there's a song that we sing as a special that's entitled, I Have a Goodly Heritage. And I love the song. Man, it sings good. But I remember as a teenager, I remember being a 16 or 17-year-old man as a youth group. Our youth group got together and we were going to sing for Father's Day. And they said, we're going to sing, I Have a Goodly Heritage. But Tyler, will you sing with us? And I said, I'm not singing that song because I didn't have that godly heritage. Because I didn't grow up in a good home. I said, I'm not singing that song. That song's a lie. Can I tell you, I was bitter. Man, I was angry. Man, I was angry about my past. I was angry that I grew up in a drunkard's home where there was drugs. Man, I told them, I'm not singing that song. They sang another song saying, I want to be that man. Talking about a father and how a father's love's there and how a father raised and nurtures in the admonition of the Lord. And I said, I'm not singing that song with y'all. I don't have that. I'm not singing that. Can I tell you, I remember there being a time and place in my life that I went down to an altar. I said, God, I know I'm bitter about my past. God, I know I'm hurt about my past. God, I know there's some things in my past that I'm looking back on and I'm limiting God because of things in my past, saying, God, I can't do this because of the way I grew up. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, there's many of churchgoers that say, I can't serve God because of what I did in the past. There is some things that affect you now in your past if you do stuff. But listen, can I tell you, I know of enough people in the Bible, and one of them wrote this passage of scripture right here. You think about Paul when he was Saul, when he killed Christian, when he would rip them out of a church building, when he would stone them on the street. Can I tell you what Paul had to do to serve God? You know what Paul had to do when he went and he learned about God? He had to close the door on his past. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, one of the most beautiful things in a Christian life is when you get to the place that you can say, God, that's in the past. God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to keep going. And eventually down the road when maturity comes up, God takes your story of your past and he uses it for his glory. Hey, church, can I tell you, maybe you're in here today. Maybe there's someone here today and you say, Brother Tyler, I want to serve God, but I did this. Brother Tyler, I want to serve God, but back in the day I did this and I messed up and I can't do it. I just don't want to anymore. Hey, listen, can I tell you, if Jesus can forgive you, you can forgive you. Can I tell you, God has already forgiven you. Some of you need to be like Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't just say that he forgives your sin. He says he covers it and it's under the blood and it's like he doesn't remember it anymore when we get saved.
Hey, Christian, if God, the one that that very sin, the one that we sinned against, that we spit in his face and that sin was against, if he can forgive us, if he can let it go, if he can cover it and move forward in our Christian life and desire to still have a relationship with us, why can't we do that? He's the one that was wronged. We did the wrong. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, if in your life you want to keep dragging up your past, you can't serve God. You can't love God the way you need to. Hey, Christian, some of us need to take our past. We need to realize that it happened. We need to learn from it. We need to grow, but we need to close the door on it and leave it there. Because if you don't, your past will dictate your future. You say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't ever want to get to that place anymore. Then you need to close the door on it. Hey, Christian, can I ask you today, do you have a past you need to close the door on? Do you have a past that you need to take it and give it to God? You ain't got to give it to the man of God, because the man of God has come and he died on the cross. But you need to just give it to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, that's in the past. And there might be consequences. There might be some scars of that, Lord. But it's in the past and it's going to stay there. God, I'm going to trust you with it. Hey, church, hey, Christian, maybe it's time to shut the door on some things of our past. Turn with me over to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 17. I put these two together and I'll read this passage of scripture in just a minute. But I think they will tie together before I read the passage of scripture. Sometimes as Christians, and we even see this in 2 Kings, and we're not going to turn back there as we look at that story there, and we see the Shunammite woman, and when her son had supposedly died, and when she thought he was dead, and she laid him on the bed, and I believe he probably was dead there, and God used the prophet there. But as you see that, and as you see that, you can think about that woman, and if I was that woman, or if I had anything to do with that woman, and even the father isn't mentioned in that story. Can I just tell you, I would begin to think, if I was that lady, I would get bitter to God. She told the man of God she didn't ask for a son. She wasn't asking for the son. If I was that woman, I wouldn't just be bitter, I'd be hurt. I'd be upset that God took that son away. I'd be upset about that God took the very thing that had gave me, the very thing that was precious for her, and he sat on her knees, and then God took her away. Hey, church, can I tell you, we live in a wicked world. Man, there's hurts that go on nowadays that back in the 60s and 70s, we would say, that never would have happened. That's dark, and that's scary, and no, that's evil. But now it's prominent in our world. Can I tell you, I believe wholeheartedly, even as a young person, I didn't grow up in a world full of hurts like we have nowadays. Can I tell you, it's obvious. It's on every street corner. You can get whatever you want. You can get any flavor. You can get everything. You can get stuff that hurts you. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, there's some Christians that come to church today, Christians that are in this building that you're struggling with hurt. Man, someone hurt you. Someone did something to you. Someone made you mad. Man, you might be struggling with a real hurt. And not that those things aren't real hurts. They are really hurts. But someone physically did something to you. Someone spiritually did something with you, and you've struggled with that for a long time. Right before we came to Landmark, and I'm going to be discreet about this, but right before my wife and I were moving, when we lived up in Georgia, we had gone through a time, and we were without a pastor for a while in the church, and God gave me an opportunity that I was able to preach most Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and I was doing the baptism, and we had another assistant, and he was doing Wednesday night, and we were running bus route, and we were busy, and I don't mean that in a prideful way. Praise the Lord for the opportunity it was to serve, and praise the Lord for those that were there helping. But man, our hands were full. Man, that summer before we left, I ran a missions trip. I ran two different camps. I ran a VBS, and we were just busy, and we were here by the end of July. Man, but that summer, that last Sunday that we were there, we had planned a really special service. Man, I was gonna preach Sunday morning, and Sunday night, our former pastor was gonna come back, and he was gonna preach, and we were gonna have a time of fellowship with our church and with our teenagers, and we got to do all that. It was great. But man, that Sunday night, before we ever went to, before we ever went to service, my wife and I were laying in bed and we were almost asleep. We were kind of talking a little bit. It was an emotional time. We were fixing to leave and her phone rang. And it was a bus kid that hadn't come to church in about 8 months. And she said, "Hey, Miss Hannah, you think tomorrow you and Brother Tyler could pick me up on the church bus?" "Oh yeah, we can definitely do that. We'd love to do that. We've missed you in church." We went to pick that young lady up on the church bus and we picked that young lady up and she just seemed like she was off. She just seemed like she was quiet and spacey and zony and like something was going on. And she had a little touch of autism, so it was normal. We didn't think anything about it at first. But as we got to church, she sat in Sunday school and she was distracted and she was spacey. And the Sunday school teacher came to my wife and said something to her. And my wife went and talked to her and talked to another lady. And they made the decision they were going to take her home because she just didn't seem like she was right. She seemed like she was really tired and like there was something going on. And they got about to the house and she began to weep and she began to cry. And I'm going to be discreet for the sake of this. But she looked at my wife and she said, "Miss Hannah, don't take me home, please. Miss Hannah, don't take me home. Miss Hannah, can I go back to the church and talk to you?" To which my wife was thinking, what is going on? And she said, "Miss Hannah, don't take me home. I'm getting hurt at home." Can I tell you, we didn't know how that day was going to turn out. But my wife took this young lady back to church and I'm in the pulpit and I'm preaching. And I don't know all this is going on. I'm preaching the word of God and I'm up there and I'm preaching. We had people get baptized that day and I'm baptizing people. And I come out of the tank and I'm shaking hands in the back. And I've got one of my teen's parents waving at me saying, "We need you. We need you. Come up here." And I walk through the auditorium and I walk to the back to one of the nurseries and my wife's standing out there and I'm looking at my wife and my wife is weeping. My wife is crying. And I said, "Hannah, what is going on?" And she said, "One of our bus kids," and she told me her name. She goes, "She's back there. We were going to take her home. But then she told me she didn't want to go home because someone was hurting her. She didn't want to go home because there was things going on in her life." Well, I'm not going to go into details for the sake of that story, but comes to find out CPS got involved. And that young lady was burned up with cigarette burns all over her body. That young lady had been messed with by people in the neighborhood and her parents didn't care anyone who went in that house and anything that went on. Can I tell you, I got up that afternoon. My wife spent the whole afternoon in the hospital with that young lady for 5 hours. Man, and my wife got home that night and we celebrated and we had a good time with our teenagers. Man, and we laid in bed that night and I looked at my wife and I said, "Hannah, you know, I love that young lady, and I understand why people kill people. And I'm not trying to be gross with you, but I just want to tell you, I was mad. I was angry. And I looked at my wife and I said, I understand why people do that. I understand why people kick doors down and they go in there and they get mad." You know what my wife looked at me and said? She said, "Tyler, you can't do that. The Bible says vengeance is mine, just thus saith the Lord." She said, "Tyler, you can't do that. Those people are in jail now." She said, "But those people might need Jesus Christ. Those people might need saved." And can I tell you, in that moment, my wife said that, and I was mad. Okay? But I quoted a great man of God, and I said, "I hate a spiritual woman." I quoted Brother Jitty to her, and she laughed. But when I tell you, when I look back on that story, what I see is hurt. And what I see is bitterness. And I get angry about that. And I want to do something about that. And it wasn't even done to me. It was done to someone that I love. Hey, church, there's many of church members that something has been done to you. Something has been done to someone that you love and you're carrying it with you. Hey, church, can I tell you, that'll destroy a church. That'll destroy a Christian. You say, "Brother Tyler, you're saying we're going to forgive those people?" I don't know. What do you think the Word of God says about that? Oh, the Word of God says they will be judged. The Word of God says that those people, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around their neck. Can I tell you, God is going to judge those people. But it's not our place to carry that. It's not our place to carry that hurt. Can I show you quickly in the Word of God there in 2 Samuel chapter number 17. Look with me down in verse number 23. In 2 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 23, it says, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died. And he was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Ahithophel went home, he got his house in order, he hanged himself, and he died. Why in the world did Ahithophel do that? In the beginning of the verse, it says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, did Ahithophel do that just because his counsel wasn't followed? Can I tell you, I've read past this passage of scripture, and I've not thought about it much. Look with me over, and I'll show you two verses, and I think we'll understand this. In 2 Samuel, look with me over in chapter number 23 and verse number 34. I'll read the next verse for the sake of time. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 23 says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both to David and with Absalom." Ahithophel was David's wisest, mightiest counselor. It says right there, if Ahithophel counseled it, it was as if it was coming from an oracle of God. Ahithophel was somebody. He was a smart man. I mean, he was a wise man. Man. And then he got to the place that he hanged himself. As we begin to look at this, kind of give you the background of this, Ahithophel there was David's counselor. But when Absalom rebelled against his father, Ahithophel followed Absalom. To the point that David prayed that God would confuse the counsel of Ahithophel. Okay, I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but why did Ahithophel get that way? In 2 Samuel chapter number 23, look me down in verse number 34, it says, "An Ephlath, the son of Ashbub, the son of the Machonite," it says, Elam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gileadite, okay? What is Ahithophel's son's name? It's Elam, right? It's what? Elam, okay? Look with me over in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. We know this passage of scripture, and we know this is David's sin here. In verse number 2, it says, "And it came to pass in the evening that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." We know this is David's great sin, and when David ran from God, David wasn't where he should have been. David should have been in battle. It says, "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba the daughter of who?'" The wife of Uriah the Hittite. If you look at those names and you look at those lineages right there, that's the same spelling. And I truly believe that that's the same person. So Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. And I might be wrong and you were good, and a more learned man of God showed me that, okay? So Ahithophel knew that David messed with his granddaughter. Ahithophel knew that David killed his granddaughter's wife. As we begin to think about that, that puts in perspective the verse where it says Ahithophel went and killed himself. If you study the word of God and you study what Ahithophel's plan was, Ahithophel had made it so when Absalom was going to come and when he was going to find his dad and when he was going to kill his dad, that this man that was messed up was going to kill David. He was mad because he had been wrong. Did he have a right to get mad? Yeah, David did something wrong. Okay? But he got bitter and he got angry and he decided to do something about himself. Church, I want to give you this quote, and I know what time it is, and I will hasten. "Bitterness is a poison that we take in hope of it hurting those who hurt us." Hey, can I tell you, there's no room Okay, this is hard to swallow, and I understand, and it might seem hard to you. There's no room in the life of a Christian for bitterness. Hey, Christian, there's zero room in the life of a Christian to be bitter. Okay? The only space in the life of a Christian that bitterness takes is right between you and God. There ain't no room for it. It pushes you away from Him. But the sad truth is that in a church the size of ours, there's someone that's struggling with bitterness and hurt. There's someone that has been wronged, just like Ahithophel was. He was wronged. It was not right what David did. It was wrong. But you know what that man did? He carried it with him. He carried it with him and said, David did this, I'm going to take care of David. David did this, I'm going to go with his son and I'm going to make sure David is killed because David wronged me. Hey, Christian, there's some people in here today that you've been wrong, that someone did you wrong, someone did you dirty, and you are mad, and you might have the right to be mad, but as a Christian, you don't have the right to carry it with you. Hey, Christian, there's some people in here today that we need to close the door on the bitterness. I'm going to give you one more point, and I'll hasten. Look with me over in the book of John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. In verse number 5, and I'm going to read one verse very quickly. John chapter number 6 and verse number 5, it says, looking at the feeding of the 5,000, it says, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? The disciples, the Christians right here that were following God, they looked and they said, this is all we have. This isn't going to be enough. This can't do anything to feed the need of the people. Why even give it to them? Hey, Christian, some of us need to close the door on excuses on why we can't serve God. Can I tell you, some of us need to stop saying, God, this is all I have. God, I'm not good with kids. God, I'm not good with teenagers. God, I can't sing. God, I don't have talents. God, I can't do this for you. Some of us need to stop making excuses and need to say, God, I'm going to shut the door on that. Because if you want to use me, you can use me. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but if we were to look in Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 17 and 18, you see the man that has invited people. He's called people and said, man, I made this great feast. Man, would you just come and would you just come and would you come and would you just sup with me? And the people said, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I've got too much going on in my life. Man, I've got a wedding. Man, I've got an ox in the ditch. I've got to go take care of this. Hey, can I tell you, those people never made it to the wedding. Christian, can I tell you, some people in this very room, you've missed out on the blessings of God in your life because for too long you said, God, I only got this much. God, I can't serve you. God, it's not going to do anything. Hey, Christian, can I be honest with you? I know around the average age of the people that are serving at Landmark. In 10 to 15 years, we don't have people to replace them. Okay, I'm not saying we're old, but can I just tell you, there's some people that need to step up. There's some people that need to say, God, I've only got a little bit of talent. God, I might not be able to do much, Lord, but it's yours, and I'll give it to you. Hey, Christian, can I ask you, have you been making some excuses on why you couldn't serve God? Maybe it's that you think God gave someone else more talent than you. Maybe it's that you think, they'll do it. It's okay. They'll take care of it. That's why we pay someone. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, it's about time we stop making excuses on why we can't serve Jesus Christ. Hey, Christian, can I tell you, the greatest joy you will ever have in this Christian life is when you're serving God the way you should. When you're serving God and you just look and you just see the blessings of God. You just see God's hand. Me and Brother Hamilton were talking about it last Sunday at Sonny's, and we were talking about different things that had went on, and we were talking about how God had moved, and I told Brother Hamilton something I had been praying about. And I didn't know Brother Hamilton before that. And he said, Brother Tyler, I've been praying about the same thing. God put it on my heart to pray that that would happen at camp. And I didn't know Brother Hamilton. And I said, Brother Hamilton, I think God's going to do that. And he said, Brother Tyler, I think God's going to do that. I'm going to tell you what it was. I was praying that God would move in our bus kids. I was praying that God would help them get serious about God. Brother Hamilton had looked up our church and had saw our bus ministry and had saw some teen services, and he was praying about the same thing. I truly believe God did that week. Can I tell you, it's great to see the hand of God. Hey, Christian, but you know what? The disciples begrudgingly, I believe, served these 5,000 people because they were too busy with what they had, not who they had. Can God do anything? Yeah. Does God own the cattle on 1,000 hills? Yeah. Is God the God of the possible? Is there things God can't do? God can do anything. So why can't God use you? Hey, church, can I ask you today, Christian, is there some things you need to close the door on? Maybe it's something I didn't mention. Probably is. But the Holy Spirit put it on your heart. Maybe it's about time that, like the lady, like the Shunammite lady, that we take that thing that we're struggling with, we take that thing that we're carrying, and we lay it down and we say, God, it's yours, and we shut the door on it. Maybe you're in here today and you know you're not saved. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Stop telling God that you can't get saved because of how bad you were, because God knew how bad you were when he died on the cross for you. Don't sit in that pew as a church member that you think, well, I need to get saved, but I'm not going to get saved because someone would ask me, I thought you were saved. Don't, that ain't worth you going to hell over. Hey, Christian, maybe there's something in your life. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's excuses. Maybe it's you need to get saved. Maybe it's hurt. Can I tell you, it's time that we close the door and we give it to God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can we stand to our feet? Christian, I'm not going to sit up here and talk. I'm not going to sit up here and run an invitation where I tell you what you need to do. Christian, the Holy Spirit will tell you that. But if you're in here today and the Holy Spirit's beckoning you to get saved and you need someone to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure heaven's your home, say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Let him do that. The instruments are going to play. Church member, maybe today you need to close the door. The altar is open. You do business with God. If you need to get saved, I'm going to be right here. Brother Perkins will be down here with me. Why don't you come forward? Let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure heaven's your home.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Christian, can I ask you today, what's behind the door? What are you willing to hold on to that God didn't die for? Is there something in your life that you say, I'm not ready to give that up? I'm not ready to give that to the Lord. Christian, can I tell you that's a weight? Christian, don't leave here with that. If you're not saved today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, don't carry that out of this room. You never know when God's going to come back. You don't know when your time's going to be. We're going to sing one more verse of invitation.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Let's sing one more. We're going to sing it with Brother Landman.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let me thank you again for being here at Landmark Baptist Church. We are so glad that you came here today and chose us for Sunday morning. We're so glad you're here. If you're a visitor today, we'd love to shake your hand. If we didn't get a record of your visit, we'd love to do that day. We've got some great news to share with you. Brother Samuel Morgan is coming to join our church. All right, he's moved back with us, and we're praising the Lord for that. Brother Sam, if you come up with us, Brother Sam's been baptized. He's moving our membership. All in favor, if you raise your right hand. Amen. We all said praise the Lord. Be praying for them. He is actually going to be on our missions team that is going with his dad to Africa. So be praying for that as well. Brother Sam, you're up here. I'll ask you to pray to close service if you don't mind, and then we'll be dismissed.
Great. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your goodness and your love and a great message, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't just hear it here, but we would take it home with us, Lord. I pray that you would give us safety on the way home. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. We'll see you tonight.